Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 7th, 2019. We are reading in the Big Book in the Doctor's Opinion and we are on page XXVII, the last paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Nancy L. on the 12 Steps, Betsy H. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Kathy G., Susan H., and Kathy Jill P. For the numbers of the share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, January 6th, special edition. The number is 12,387. That's 12387. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting on January 7th, the number is 12,388 or 12388. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy K. It's Nancy L. in Arizona. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. And Betsy H., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Hi, this is Betsy H. from California. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Betsy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion, the very last paragraph on the page, and I will ask Kathy G. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the comments today with Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois.
I'm having trouble hearing you. You sound very muddled. Is there anything you can do differently?
Sure. How about this?
That's much better. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, Kathy. All right. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed from the physical craving for liquor, and this often requires a definite hospital procedure before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. Okay, well, this the first thing I thought of when I read this was I remember once having an appointment with a therapist who wanted to meet me for a piece of pie so that I could learn that eating a piece of pie was completely possible and normal. And I just have such a longing for people in the medical profession to understand that there are a group of us out here who have a physical allergy, and if we ingest any type of our alcoholic substances, we really are not going to be able to receive whatsoever the valuable information they might have for us. At least that was my case. The other thing I want to focus on here is just really the word craving and how powerful it is. And it says right under this that it never occurs in the average temperate drinker, or in our case, eater. And for those of us who are real compulsive overeaters, this phenomenon of craving, it is so powerful that it just blocks out everything else. It blocks out sanity. It blocks out our history of picking up food and having to wake up and just, you know, know, complete remorse and despair and horror. It's just awful. Page XXX in the big book just discusses craving in a powerful way. So something to take a look at for anybody trying to lay down the food and to understand what we're dealing with. And also, I felt led to page 6, which is in Bill's story, which really talks about what happens to our minds once we enter into the phenomenon of craving. And he had picked up again at the top of page 6, and he talks about the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning. And what happened is he woke up with the phenomenon of craving, and he said his brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. He barely crossed the street, and he said that he had to pick up. He found an all-night place, supplied me with a dozen glasses of ale. Well, I could just substitute a Dunkin' Donuts and a dozen donuts. And he said once he had those, his writhing nerves were stilled at last. So yet again, to show that we are picking up our alcoholic substance to deal with the craving that we have in our bodies. So we have to put down the substance to get rid of the craving so then we can work these steps as written with any level of clarity or sanity. That has been my experience. And to be in neutrality around food and not have craving is such a gift. So if you're new, I just urge you to keep coming, work the steps, put down the substance, and give us a call for support. We're here to help you. So thanks so much. I pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Kathy G. Okay, I'd like to take some names of people who want to share on what Kathy just read. If you could go one at a time, that would be really helpful.
Jackie H.
Sunny
Diana
S.
H.
Was
Beatrice
B.
O.
John K.
Sunny Beatrice O.
Wait a second. Beatrice O, John K. I missed somebody. Was it a Penny?
Donna Patty B.
It's a Sunny. Sunny S.
Sunny S. And Patty.
Patty B.
Okay. So
Donna B.
Is that Anna B?
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you all. So I have Jackie H., Beatrice O., John K., Patty D., Sunny S., and Donna B. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. What a beautiful little short, powerful paragraph in the beginning of it all, right? I didn't have to go into the hospital, but I did have to put down my alcoholic foods. And it was so interesting to me. This was my first experience with OA. I had never gone to a regular OA meeting. So I came in like a little baby, and that's what I was told to do. And I remembered 11 years ago when I went into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I put down the alcohol, and there was no question. So I didn't question this. I didn't question the fact that I needed to put down my alcoholic foods. And what happened to me is when I put it down, within 3 or 4 days, my mind started to be clear. I couldn't believe it. I was almost amazed because I had been walking around in a little bit of a fog, quite a bit of a fog actually, right? And so I am absolutely 100% sold on this thing of total abstinence. I cannot afford, and I cannot afford to give myself any wiggle room when it comes to the food. You know, I put the food down and then I was clear and I had the wherewithal to do these steps and have a spiritual experience, and especially, and this entire psychic change, my personality has changed as a result of this, right? So if you're new and if you're arguing about, oh, I can't put the food down, you know, you put the food down within a few days, that the food's gone. There's not going to be a physical craving for the food. And if there is any craving, it's in my mind, right? Because I have a twofold disease. I have this body disease and this mental twist. So when the food's down, I mean, I went through two holidays this year no craving, no white knuckling, because I'm a good person. No, not at all. I didn't put any of those foods in my body. So there was no reason to crave. I have no cravings, period, anymore. And if I do have, if the food calls me on some level, I get to decide, is there something in my food plan that's triggering that, or is there something in my spiritual and mental ability here in my program? And so I am thrilled. I'm thrilled to be here. I could not be in a better place than I am here. And I love Vision. I love the people that started this and that were here for me when I needed to recover from this. Thank you so much for letting me share. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Jackie H. Beatrice O., please share with us. Press star one, Beatrice.
Sorry. Anyway, so can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is Beatrice from Los Gatos, California, and I love this part where it says you have to, you may require a hospital stay. I've been in treatment for my eating disorder twice. And before I was able to meet with a group or meet with a therapist or psychiatrist, I had to have 3 days of abstinence. So there was a section where they put people coming in. They were like in, I won't say lockdown, but they were separated from the rest of the group. And I've been going to eating disorders group, and they think that behavior modification is going to relieve them or stop the craving. And I've so I know that my experience is you have to put the food down to get any relief. The other thing is I've been working on my four step, and I've been having a lot of memories. And I know that one of the reasons that I have this, if I have cravings, is my body, my mind remembers. Because the big book says we sought ease and comfort. So I've been a food addict since I was a small child. And so when I'm hungry or I get cravings or I get restless, irritable, and discontent, it's because my body and my mind remembers something from the past that is triggering that. And that's when I have to seek my higher power and I need to pray. Because this disease never goes away. They say that this is like a gorilla doing push-ups outside of the meeting rooms. And I was in my group right before the holidays, and this one of the speakers said that this disease was like the serpent from the book of Genesis. And when she said that, I have been thinking about that probably for the entire holiday season. And I don't know, it just made a big difference in my thinking. So I know that when I have a craving, I have a food thought, I'm feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, I know that it's this addiction. And because I've put my food down.
Beatrice?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your share, Beatrice O. John K., please share with us.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Morning, Team Monday. This is John Kiernan, a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, I've often said if I could rewrite anything in the big book, I wouldn't rewrite a word, but I would add a big page at the front that in bold 72-point letters in black says, this book presupposes you've given up your substance first. And I think that's because, nobody, I think, at that time could, comprehend the idea that there'd be all these different 12-step programs and that some of them would require not giving up totally. There aren't a lot, this and debtoring and things like that, but, that's the way it is. I remember when I came in at, we had a guy, and I heard him tell this story more than once in my AA thing of he was a scientist, and he was very, and I identified with him, very intellectual. And he came into AA and he bought a big book. He went home and he sat there reading it with a glass of scotch next to him. And of course, it would bring the house down every time. Everybody would laugh. And so, one of the things I tell sponsees sometimes when they're like, they'll come back and say, I heard this in a meeting. I said, luckily I came from that first program. And when I hear somebody say something that sounds a little strange, I translate it into AA. Does it fly? Well, I can occasionally have a glass of wine. I can do this, and that helps me a lot. And because there is this whole debate, can you work the steps before you get abstinent? I can just tell you, 37 years in, have I heard an occasional person get up and say they did it that way? Yes, I have. But I believe for every one of those people, there's 100 people sitting in the audience who aren't abstinent, hoping they can get that lottery ticket too. And what happens is they don't. They either they come to the conclusion they have to get abstinent or they leave. And that's sad because I think it's a very dangerous message to tell, And to me, thinking you can work the steps before you get abstinent is just another easier, softer way my disease is pushing me toward, Because denial doesn't stop just because I've joined the program, I've gone to a lot of meetings or heard a lot of program slogans. My disease will always be as subtle as it needs to be so as to be imperceptible. Because if it gave me just pure BS things, I'd ignore them. But it always looks for something that sounds reasonable on paper. And, I can speak about this better in terms of my relapse because I was more aware after I'd been in for a while. Like when I lead a relapse workshop or retreat, I'll take 5 minutes and read this litany of things I would spout at meetings. Oh, I'm going to work the steps. Oh, I'm going to get spiritual. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's because my disease during my relapse got up every morning with one job to do, and that was to figure out how to get me to kick the can down the road another day on actually putting the food down. Because my disease knew if it could convince me to do it today, it could convince me to do it tomorrow. And the thing I love about this paragraph is it comes as close as you can get to that big page I wanted in the front that says, you gotta put the food down first. I'm sorry, I wish I had a better answer for you, but you can't get to a fourth step until you've done a first step, and you can't get to a ninth step until you've done a first step. And what are you saying if you're saying, I'll work on this first? You're saying, I will someday get abstinent. Where's the power list?
Time.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, John Kay. Patty D., please share with us.
Hi, this is Patty D. from Matthews, North Carolina, compulsive overeater. This paragraph means a lot to me recently because I had been totally recovered and had put down the food and had no longer any cravings. And I had a really terrible accident right before Christmas. And I fell, ended up with stitches and a terrible bruise on my face and a broken wrist. And I had my children coming for Christmas and had planned my abstinent meal and everything like that. And my husband, in trying to help out, said, you know what, we're going to just simplify Christmas meal. Everything's going to be easy for you. We're just going to work around your injuries, and I had a terrible migraine each each day because of my fall. I landed on my face. And I was doing okay. My daughter was making treats, you know, for everyone, and I was fine. But in helping me, my husband ordered a honey ham for dinner. And because I was so distracted by my injuries, my pain and everything, I really didn't think about it. And I ate it. And after the kids left the next day and the cookies and the treats were around, I had terrible cravings. I white-knuckled it through the next couple of days. And it just was a reminder to me of how awful this substance allergy is in my life. I have been, you know, had no cravings, had none of this, the aspects of the disease that were apparent to me during all that time when I had put the food down and was, you know, so involved in everything about the program, as I still am. And I just realized it was just such a wake-up call to me that my body can't handle any of that. And this paragraph just emphasizes that you have to put the food down. And now, again, I'm clean and I feel good. And I just wanted to share that because it just was awful. And I'm so glad I'm through it and my body is clean again. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Sunny S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Sunny S. It's spelled S-A-N-N-E in Colorado. Thank you for letting me share. What I was reminded of is how interesting it was that I did have to remove those substances. And then, you know, as I started working the steps, it was almost a way of finding clarity and discernment. I really related to another share previously and just about how it's just easier for me to make decisions because I'm not so cloudy anymore, you know, and this is all thanks to this program. It wasn't in the first few months, you know, in the first few months I was still withdrawing. I actually kind of hated the world. And then as I kept working the steps and especially through my fourth, there was just something that happened, you know, where I felt very connected to something I hadn't even imagined, because obviously it was just impossible to connect to a higher power for me before this. And also what I'm reminded of is, like, you know, being in touch with that discernment and clarity, and even my body, you know, it's easier to figure out, like, through my sensations, if I'm needing to set a boundary with somebody or... especially this weekend, I've been reaching out a lot about being halted, you know, like hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and needing to tend to those things. You know, if I'm tired, what I used to do was, okay, let me just consume X, Y, Z, and then I'll wake up. This time it's, oh, wow, I'm actually tired. It's time to go to bed, you know, or time to take a nap. And really take care of myself from that core place, you know, and things just get better. You know, the more self-care that I practice through this program, the stronger relationships I have, the better I show up for work. And then lastly, what I want to mention is that even though I've been recovered for more than 2 years, you know, the clouds do come back if I'm not sponsoring or if I'm not sharing in meetings or just being involved in some kind of way. They just get back. It gets confusing. My fears start rising up. I start getting in conflict. It's just amazing how little it takes for me to just slip back into just dysfunctional thinking and eventually what leads to a relapse. So with that, I pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sunny. Yes. Donna B., please share with us.
This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. What I wanted to focus in on was the concept of maximum benefit. I've been in the rooms for quite a long time and put down many of my alcoholic foods and had the opportunity to work through the steps many times. But I continue to struggle with volume-ing. And I rationalized that. And there were people in the rooms who supported that rationalization, that, well, you know, how bad could it be? You're still abstinent. You didn't break your abstinence. You didn't pick up your binge food. But I have clear evidence to support that something was blocking me from the maximum benefit of this program because of my volume eating. Every time I went through the steps, there were a group of people that continued to show up over and over and over again. Those people were my family of origin and my husband's family of origin. And every time I worked through the steps, on my fourth step, I had exactly the same resentment. I'd get to the ninth step and I would need to make exactly the same amends over and over again. In April 2018, the truth was finally revealed to me. The volume eating was not okay, that it really was an impediment, that it was a block for me experiencing the maximum benefit of this program, which is ultimately to be of maximum service to God and to my fellows. I was completely blocked off from a higher power. Today, by the grace of God, I am free from my alcoholic food as well as volume eating. I do eat a weighed and measured food plan, and my sponsor has taught me that there is absolutely no need to ever eat more than exactly what's on my food plan. If it feels like physical hunger, this is the obsession of my mind, and it is not actual physical hunger. And the appropriate response to that is to pray, to reach out to fellows, to write 10 steps, to really get to the answer of the question, which is, what's bothering me? So I'm really grateful, and I don't know that my story could have been any different, despite how clear the words in the Big Book are, but I'm grateful to have ultimately come to what I believe is entire abstinence. But as I know from my own experience, more will be revealed. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, I'd like to take some additional names from people who want to share.
MJ.
MJ.
Carol.
I'm sorry, was that Bruce?
Yeah, it was Bruce. Bruce E.
Bruce E. Okay, and then I think I heard someone named Carol.
Kara
L. Kathleen O.
Kara L. and Kathleen O.
Deborah G.
Pat K.
Okay, that's it. Deborah G. and Pat K. Let's see if we can get through all of those. Okay, please share with us.
Can you just repeat what page you're on?
Sure. It's page XXVII, the last paragraph on the page. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed. And we're staring on just that one paragraph. Sorry, I didn't mention that again halfway through the meeting. Okay, let's see. MJ, please share with us.
Hello, MJ from Arkansas. Happy to be with all of you this morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
Wonderful. Okay, well, wow, how exciting. I'm about 3 months into the program. I've never been in a program before, and so listening to everybody and reading and going through the steps with my sponsor, and it's been a journey for 3 months where I needed not only to hear it and to believe it, but to experience it. And for those of you that are maybe new to the
I lost you, MJ.
Oh, that I needed to experience it? Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay. That I not only needed to hear that. Oh, let me, hold on. That I not only needed to hear about the different steps and hear about this allergy and to read about the allergy, but I also understand that I needed to experience it. So here I am 3 weeks into the program, and yes, I had felt the cravings, but yes, I could, I was coming against it. I was doing the program. I was calling people, and but I could feel the absence. I could feel the neutrality, and it was fantastic to feel that neutralness. Well, I went on my very, very first cruise over Christmas break, and in the middle of an island, I totally lost it all. I got into something. I could not stop eating. I ate until I about burst, and I went, oh my goodness, that's what they're talking about. That's it. And I needed that. So I came away. My husband got to see it, and I got to see it and feel it, because you know, your mind does play tricks on you. And just, I'm just saying, I'm new to the program, and I could hear it and I could read it, but I had to experience it again to say, ah, I loved that neutral feeling, and I really am, I've got an issue. And I just want to say it's real and it's out there, and the program works, and it's okay. It's okay to let God show you where this all fits in your own personal walk and how this all is going to work and what your issues are. It's okay when you don't understand it, just keep with the program, keep talking to people, keep listening to Vision for You, and your own pieces are going to fit together, and you will understand what you need to do and that you do need to get off the food, and that's the very first thing. And I didn't know what the food was, but now I do. Thank you so very much for sharing. I pass.
Thanks very much, MJ, and do keep coming back. Bruce E., please share with us.
Bruce E., I'm recovered in Southwest Florida. Thank you, everybody. Let's see. Yeah, I didn't understand that hospital room deal when I first read that. And, you know, I read in the big book years ago, and I kind of read it like a novel, and this time I studied it through. I got in the program June 2nd, and I had alcoholic foods on my food plan, so I was relapsing about every 2 weeks. And when I did that, my sponsor would say, okay, now you're going to a hospital room, don't call me for 2 days, work the steps like your hair's on fire, and call me back in 2 days. So that was my hospital room. And that worked. And then I'd relapse 2 more weeks later, and then, because I'd have something alcoholic on my food plan, I have to take that off. I had to keep taking things off. And finally got a pretty good food plan. My wife hit me with one this morning. She said that, we're going to have this item for dinner. It's only got 1 gram of sugar in it. And it's a look-alike. And I said, no, I can't do it, honey. I said, I love you. You know, you're a wonderful cook, but there's some things I just can't have. And I don't want to start taking things back. I've been recovered since September 10th and very grateful for this program. And never would have thought I could have gotten recovered. Just slipped and slide, just slipping and sliding in this program for over 25 years. Couldn't get, you know, I'd get abstinence for a week or two or three or a month or sometimes even a year, and then I'd go back. And, you know, I wasn't working through the steps with a recovered sponsor, and really studying the big book. And I was eating alcoholic foods. And then they, of course, you know, I'm allergic to them. And then that sets up the phenomena of craving. And I didn't know what was, you know, why I couldn't get it. I just thought I'd never get it. But my sponsor said, you want to go another 25 years without getting this thing? You better get it now. So I'm happy to say I'm getting it, I think. And hope others do, too. I know a lot do. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bruce E. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered in Los Angeles area. Thank you all for being here. This is the first time I've actually shared on a Vision meeting. Kind of excited. Newly recovered. I've been in the program for 14 and a half years, and I had thought I eliminated everything. But when I started back in the beginning of November on a Vision,
And I knew there were things I was still holding on to. And it was amazing because I did everything that I was told. I worked the steps to the best of my ability, vigorously, and those things I was holding on to disappeared. And I knew I had to give them up. And I had rationalized for the last 14 years, oh, no, I'm okay with that. I had already given up a lot of other items. Oh, no, I'm okay with that. And I wasn't. And I needed to be clear-headed. And I am so thankful today that the gift I've been given, I have never had my food so easy. I've never had such a clear head. I've never known that I had a choice, that when things came into my life and I felt restless, irritable, and discontent, that I could choose to work the steps and I could choose to turn to my higher power for help instead of the food. And it was small and insidious ways because I thought I was working a great program. And it wasn't until I worked these steps through vision that I saw and I felt the promises really and the true freedom. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Let's see, Kathleen O, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service this morning, and hello, everyone on the line. You know, I am so happy we're not glossing over this paragraph and we're spending an hour discussing it. This is really the first part of step one. I've heard it called step zero, but it's where we put the food down. And ought to be free from his physical craving for liquor. You know, we must be as sober from food as an alcoholic is with their alcohol. And for me, I realized that took willingness and action. But how did I get that willingness? I remember just pleading with the universe at large to help me to stop eating. And the answer I heard was, stop your insanity, Kathleen. And, you know, insanity is crazy in the mind. And I was crazy in the mind. I had crazy thinking about food. And the opposite of that sane is to be free from a mental obsession. So it amazes me that there's a debating society over, can we work the steps and still be eating? Why would we want to? If I'm crazy thinking in the head about food, how can my mind be clear enough to even comprehend anything else? It's sort of like, you know, wanting to take classes, ballroom dance classes, and showing up in scuba diving gear. It makes no sense. It's like my mind has to be clear if I'm going to allow anything else in. And it might have been easier, and maybe there'd be less of a dating society, I don't know, if the word were an alcoholic must be freed rather than alcoholic ought to be free. But even the word ought indicates obligation. It's like, we must be free from the food. Yes, I think John Kay, or somebody mentioned the one person that might be able to do it. It's like winning the lotto. I've never won the lotto. I've played. I don't know anyone on this line who's won the lotto. It's very unlikely that's going to happen, but it's very likely it will happen. And we're promised that. Put the food down. Work these steps. Our life is going to change, and we will get the freedom. We'll be free from the mental obsession of thinking about food all day. We'll have a brand new life that is beyond our wildest dreams. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kathleen O. Deborah G., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for your chair, and thank you all for sharing this morning and 12-stepping me. I can remember, I think about it now, it's funny, actually, when I was in treatment in 87, and I saw a nutritionist, and I was in the purple group because I had an eating disorder, and nobody said anything about not doing any sugar or flour or anything. It was, I think about now, it's kind of strange. And, of course, I never got any relief or recovery. And it wasn't until years and years and years later that I, in fact, it was just recently, it's been 2 years now, in November of this year, 2 years, that I actually got the freedom. You know, because I've tried so many other things before, and those attempts to control, and I like where it says the physical craving, because I know that feeling when I put it in my body, you know, how that feels when I want more of it and that craving and that experience. And I'm just really blessed that I haven't had to, one day at a time, put it in my body. Do I think about it sometimes when I see it or brings back memories or something? Yes. But it's so wonderful that I have the tools today from this program. And I have other people that are, you know, wanting to do the same thing, that I'm not alone. I can do it with someone else and with a group in a meeting and going through the steps. You know, just I feel like it's just the action work. And when I do the action, then that the abnormal, the physical allergy, the obsessiveness, all that, you know, goes away. It's just a spiritual experience is the only thing that has helped me. And I'm really grateful to be here. And thank you all again for helping me on this journey.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. And Kat K., please share with us.
Hi, Kat K., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you all for just the wonderful shares this morning. Really glad to be here to hear it all. This paragraph is meaningful for me because similar to a couple shares that we've heard, I was in the OA rooms, but constantly relapsing, unable to stay abstinent until I came into these rooms and spoke to a sponsor who identified that I had a fat allergy, and I was not following a food plan that eliminated high-fat foods. And as a result, I could never stay abstinent. And not just that, but I wasn't working the steps. It took like 2 years for me to get to like step 9 or something before, and I was eating my allergy foods. Anyhow, today I'm so grateful because it's no longer a diet of obsessing day to day what I'm going to control or what I'm not going to eat or what I'm going to eat. I have neutrality around the food today. I used to seek excitement through what I was going to eat. Now I can seek excitement in other parts of my life because I'm not going to seek it through my food. I will eat very similar things day to day. And I'm very contented because the gifts I get through being recovered, being of service, living in 10, 11, and 12 are so great that I don't need to seek excitement through food anymore. I don't need to experiment, live on the edge. Should I eat this? Should I not? And so that neutrality is so great, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you all, and have a blessed day.
Thanks very much, Kat K. We have about a minute. Does anybody want to share briefly?
This is Debbie.
Okay, Debbie, do you want to take a minute?
Yeah, I'm new to this. I had my first full day of no sugar. Kind of jittery. Just kind of hanging in there. I don't have a sponsor yet. I'm told you have to be abstinent for 7 days before you can get into that, so I'm trying to do that. And I guess that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, if you stick around, you're going to hear Melanie ask for newcomers and also ask for sponsors. and you can take down some phone numbers. You don't need to wait to call people in this program. So keep coming back, and thank you for your share. We will now close this meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Susan H., would you please read a vision for you on page 164?
Thanks, Kathy, I will. Thanks for your service. This is Susan H., and here it is. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.